You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster. I'm back to give you another week of sci-fi news, albeit late from last week. So I do have lots of good tidbit news to give you, as well as my big three topics. But before I get started, consider we're coming into the holidays. And for me, literally for me, from Halloween until the end of the year, and even after the end of the year, my time gets really swamped because it's the holidays, my wife's birthday, my wife and I have our 20th anniversary coming up. We also have birthdays. So among all that, dealing with that, my time to do podcasting, it's still going to happen, but I have to cut back my sci-fi news podcast until next year. I've just had way too many things on my plate, and over the weekend, I got to do a mini Comic-Con at my library system that we had over the past weekend, in which we had a couple of panels, and I did a recording of the podcast, and I have to edit that and get that ready. So amongst that, plus my own personal stuff, plus with the holidays, it's too much at this moment. Now, I am still going to do a Blade Runner movie review, Thor, Ragnarok, Justice League, and Star Wars The Last Jedi. And I still have a host of other podcasts that I still have to still produce that I promised myself to work on. So even though I'm not going to get the sci-fi news for every week out to you, it will come back. I just need to have some time to myself to kind of rechannel my energy. Plus, I'm programming for next year for my YA department. So I'm looking at bigger projects and bigger events that I want to incorporate. And I need the time to start working on that. So again, I love what I do. I love the sci-fi news podcast, and I love podcasting in general, but being realistic, I don't want to give a crappy product for the sake of putting out crappy product. I want to do good quality work. That is what something that I pride myself on is consistency and try to strive to do better shows each time. But this past week, even the past podcast, I got sloppy with the editing, and there are a couple of moments I'm like, why did I not catch that to kind of fix those moments? And I'm just like cringing at that. So for the most part, that's the news that I have for myself. And again, I'm still going to be around, just not as much because, again, too much on my plate. So let's get started with the big tidbit news. And that being, Wonder Woman is finally, officially, the highest grossing superhero origin movie of all times. So it had narrowly beat over the original Spider-Man by Sam Raimi. And Deadpool is pretty much in the distance there. And we also have Guardians of the Galaxy and Suicide Squad bringing out the remaining top five. But that's amazing. And for DC to have such a mega hit on their hands, and Justice League is only just a couple of weeks away, a lot is riding on the fact that DC has not gone to the point where Marvel is. And at this point, because they arrived at the game late, and at this point, you try to do something that's going to be different from your competition. Not very many people are digging the darker storyline, hence why things have been lightened up, and Wonder Woman is probably the best example of that shift to a more optimistic, more hopeful storyline. And that's fine, and I'm all for that. But for me, I appreciated the dark side of what DC was doing. And I love Man of Steel, and I love Batman vs. Superman, even the Ultimate Edition, and even Suicide Squad. I love those movies, and I have no problems with them. I also love Marvel stuff. But even, again, Marvel has been doing this a better and a long time. DC just needs to do what they can do. Do your stuff really well, and it will come. And we all benefit from a better product on the road. So again, just like with the podcast, do better movies on your own terms. So on that note, last time I talked about Shazam, in which we have Zachary Levi, who was going to be in the hero role of Shazam. So on the news of possibly a villain, if you know the comics, Captain Marvel has a villain named Dr. Savannah, who's kind of a bald, stereotypical, geeky glass, evil scientist. Right now, the news is that Mark Strong is in talks. And if you know Mark Strong, he is in that crappy John Carter movie. But he was fantastic as Merlin in the Kingsman movie. So I'm happy for that news, and I think he'll do a fantastic job. But again, this is really early about that. And unfortunately, again, I'm not going to be reporting about anything concrete in the coming weeks, because this is going to be officially the last sci-fi news podcast for at least a couple of months until the holidays are over and again, my schedule opens up. The other bit of news, again, tidbit news, composer Cliff Eidelman, who, if you are a soundtrack fan, you would know that name from Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, which I think is a fantastic score, albeit not James Horn, and definitely not from Jerry Goldsmith. So one of my favorites, but not from those two gentlemen that I mentioned. Well, turns out that he has actually produce a soundtrack, at least about four tracks, for Star Trek Discovery. He was brought on because working with Brian Fuller, who was then, at the time, the showrunner and the executive producer for Star Trek Discovery. And because of the conflict of work schedule and the direction that Brian Fuller wanted to go with Star Trek Discovery, so did Cliff Eidelman. So off he goes. But I will have a link in which you can go to Spotify and actually listen to the previously unreleased track. So I have not heard it yet, but because I love soundtracks, and I've mentioned this before, I'm all in when it comes to hearing different takes or how someone is able to bring their own vision. Because again, I wasn't that crazy by the new soundtrack, and I haven't said that it's grown on me, but I'm accustomed to it. And it's, there's not much that I can say about the soundtrack itself. It's okay, like with most of the TV soundtracks. The theme is fair, not memorable, and it tries to have undertones in which it's trying to define its own premise, but then it ends with the Star Trek, the original series theme, which it doesn't really inspire me to get all excited towards the end, but it just seems to, basically, if I was going to compare Discovery into the original series, well, again, this is 10 years before the series, so whatever themes, whatever motifs they're going to be playing. It's their own thing, and it seems like it's kind of meandering. But it ends with the premise where you're going to get Star Trek, the original series, at the end of it. Like the 10 years that they're promising for us. That's how I see it. But in another case, again, I'll have it in my show notes, so you can listen to it, and I will listen to it soon. But, you know, that's the kind of things that I kind of like. I really get off on listening to different versions of that. And a perfect example is if you listen to the soundtrack for Legend, Tangerine Dream did the score for a movie called Legend, which was done by Ridley Scott, has Tom Cruise, Tim Curry. Fantastic movie. If you rewatch it, there's an alternate version that Ridley Scott directed, in which there's a different music cue altogether by Jerry Goldsmith. And this is one of the few times that I listened to this, and I'm like, oh, this is god-awful. And I'm glad that the movie was recut, and we got a different soundtrack with Tangerine Dream, because it fits more with that movie. But that was one example that I'm like, I could do without. So the other bit of tidbit news is that we also have news about, if you remember the Squirrel Girl series that was being made. Well, it seems it's not going to be appearing on Freeform, which is Disney owned, which was formerly ABC Family. That series or that channel was going to have Cloak and Dagger. So why this is not going to be on there, the new Warrior series with Squirrel Girl, I don't know. But again, since Disney is gearing up for their digital service paywall, I wouldn't be surprised to see if that's what they would do, hence like what CBS does with Star Trek with All Access. But it doesn't make sense to me for Disney to do something like that. But from what I'm reading is that the pilot tested well. They're just looking for a better, I guess, medium or a better avenue to broadcast this. But Hulu has the upcoming series called Runaways, which, if you're familiar with the comic, it's the parents who are the villains and the children are the ones that are going to be stopping their parents. And that's a series that's going to be appearing on Hulu. So I doubt the new Warriors are going to be on Hulu. But we'll see what happens with that. The other thing is that now that Disney is getting even bigger, they're looking to control a lot more access. Meaning that Marvel is not going to be able to lend out its license or license out any product that's not owned by Disney. A couple of months ago, we talked about Netflix and how they have the Daredevil property and Punisher and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and, of course, Iron Fist plus the Defender series. This could be it. We may have another year with these characters, and then that's it with the contract. But again, as we mentioned before, that Disney is doing their own streaming access. But if they do this and they take off these characters, I don't think Disney is going to give us that darker version of these heroes. So we have Netflix for right now, and let's enjoy whatever we can get for the next couple of years. But that's really hard to take, because I know why they're doing this, because we remember years ago, Marvel was struggling to produce their own stuff. So they sold off the rights to these heroes, to Sony, 20th Century, and they lost a lot of characters. Fantastic Four, X-Men, two prime examples. And Spider-Man. Forgot about Spider-Man. So they don't want that to happen again, because that's the reason why we don't have the Hulk movie, because it's a contract that's done with Universal. So unless Universal is going to allow Disney/Marvel to produce a Hulk movie, they're going to get a piece of the cake too. But of course, Disney doesn't want to do that, since that's what they don't want to do in the future. Is keep the cake all to themselves. So that's why we don't have a Hulk movie, or at least a new one. But we can still have him in the Avengers or in Thor Ragnarok. So that's why we have that situation. But yeah, they're getting really tight in their control. And even with the new Star Wars movie, they're having even stricter rules for the theaters to have even stricter guidelines. So even though they're taking a higher percentage of the profits right off the top, if they violate those guidelines, it's going to be costing them even more down the road. So, you know, Disney, it's well within its right to dictate their demands because of their interests, and they can, no one's going to say no to them because of the properties that they own. So until movies start tanking, and maybe they could start with the remake of The Lion King, and like, I hope that would happen. But that's not, because we're going to get Dumbo that's being remade into live action. And we also had Jungle Book. I'm like, oh, God. And Beauty and the Beast. For the love of God, I really hated that movie. Because I saw it already. Jesus. All right, so let's get started with the big three topics. Again, my apologies for being long, but again, this is the last one. So if you are a Quantum Leap fan like I am, a lot of people that I guess kind of listen to my show will remember that the last episode in which Sam met a bartender who turned out to be God, who said, Sam, you had the power to leap home at any time. And then when we see the closing credits, Sam never went home. How much do we hate that goddamn ending? It was atrocious. Well, good news. Donald Belisario, the creator of Quantum Leap, has written another script as to how this will work. Really? We're going to go down this road. Considering past projects that have been revived lately, and Will and Grace is a perfect example of a show that was off the air for almost 11 years and is being brought back. Fuller House, from the Full House. Okay, I get that there are some ideas that are out there that fans still want, but we lost Dean Stockwell. So, right off the bat, let's not do that. Yes, we still have Bakula, who's still around, but it just, from the description of what he's looking to write, it's like he has an idea, and the story will take him wherever that goes. But, you know, some people are speculating, oh, maybe it's his son looking for his dad. But I'm like, but then it smacks of being Tron Legacy, but for TV. And I think, to me, the most insulting part of all of this is that you had guidelines. You establish these are the rules in which you can leap. And that is within your own lifetime. And somehow, in that last season, well, let's kind of change it up. Well, you can leap within your own lineage. Hence why we get him going way past into the JFK assassination or into the Civil War. I'm like, really? You broke your own rules for the sake of storyline. So we get through that last season and then get that whole thing about, oh, you could have left at any time to go back home and didn't. So it almost feels like, you know, Donald, I love your work. I love Jag, but this one, I don't want to see it. Don't bring this back. Maybe bring it back as a novel. Do a graphic novel. Hell, that will be better. Do that as a graphic novel series. But don't bring it on television. Because there's no way that I'm going to accept that these characters are still leaping about because you've now said he had the power to go home all the time. I'm still angry about this series. I really am. And I'm upset that he is still writing this. So I think it's kind of selfish to not give the fans what they deserve. And even if it's an unsatisfying ending, like a lot of people didn't appreciate or didn't like Lost. I thought it was appropriate because even though there was more questions than they were able to answer, I was still okay with it. Or if you have Roseanne, that last season in which it comes down to Roseanne writing in a journal talking about the money that he won in the lottery never happened and that Dan had a heart attack and died. But yet they're bringing that back. So, you know, I know she was upset with ABC, but then ABC is bringing back the show. And I don't want to get into that. I want to have these wonderful memories of a great time with these great characters and a great premise. But now you're going to bring it back and then it's going to be crap. And that's what I hate when it's done this way. So I can do without. So again, Donald, don't do it. Not that he's listening, but don't do it. All right. The other big news that I kind of actually I'm happy about this. We have Jordan Peele. And if you know that name, he was part of Key and Peele. And he did his directorial movie called The Get Out, which I love and is fantastic. He is going to be able to hopefully bring all that creative energy that he is known for. And for his love of horror and science fiction stuff. And bring it to the new Twilight Zone. So first off, all right, you've already done the Twilight Zone already. First episode they did on CBS, it was called Shatter Day. Not Saturday, but Shatter Day. And it starred Bruce Willis. And it was in between, I think, the Die Hard movies, the first one, and Moonlighting. So he was still relatively that you can afford to get him, and he still had hair. So... And I remember that episode because there was a body double that was replacing him who was acting he was acting better than himself. And he wanted being on the outside, but the replacement took over his life. But it was called Shatter Day. Overall, I thought the remake of The Twilight Zone was okay. If you're going to redo something, I would look at a better example. The poor cousin to the Twilight Zone, you know, like the McDonald's, the Burger King, you would have the Outer Limits. Now, the original Outer Limits were fine. You know, we control your horizontal, we control your vertical. It was some interesting stories. But when they redid that story, or redid the series, we got a lot of great stories. And I was so impressed by the quality of the stories, the quality of the acting, the guest appearances, and at one point, multiple storylines were kind of tied up in this one mega episode. And I'm like, oh my God. And if we remember if we go back to, I think they're called the Sand Kings episode in the remake, that's the one with Beau Bridges, the brother of Jeff Bridges. That's the one that I remember fondly because of the storyline, but it also was brought back towards the end, and other episodes that have been kind of pieced together. I'm like, that's amazing. That was freaking amazing. And there were other adult storylines that were kind of pushed further. And I thought to myself, this is really, really freaking good. Whereas the Twilight Zone, again, the TV series remake, okay. Not great. But then if you remember years ago, back in the 80s, we also had the Twilight Zone movie. And the storyline there is that you had multiple stories. Some were remade from the original TV series. The one that was unfortunate, that's tragic, Vic Morrow, who was, thrown back to a Vietnam storyline. And he was trying to rescue two children, but there was a helicopter that fell on them and killed those kids and him. And it kind of plagued the release of the movie and the director, but everyone was cleared because it was ruled an accident. But overall, you would have the opening scene in which it's Dan Aykroyd, and I'm blanking out on the other guy's name. I'm sure someone knows. Albert Brooks are driving on a road, and they're playing Midnight Special on the cassette, and the cassette player breaks, and then they try to name that tune, that kind of thing. And then it leads into, you want to see something scary. So Albert Brooks, who's driving, does the lights turning on and off. And then Dan Aykroyd does, all right, so it's my turn. It's like, I need you to pull over. And I was like, what? Just do it. So it's like, okay. He turns his back, like he looks out into the window, and then turns around and he's this creature and starts attacking Albert Brooks. And then you hear the music. And then everyone liked it. It was a really good opening way to the Twilight Zone, because that character does appear at the very end of the movie. So kind of a really good bookmark or bookend. The one with Vic Morrow was okay. I think for the most part, not until we get to the very last story, the one that's Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, which is a remake from William Shatner, but with John Lithgow. The one with John Lithgow, hysterical. Funny as hell. And then after that, I was done. I could not care about Twilight Zone. Albeit, the original series has some fantastic episodes that I would watch again and again. I'm blanking out the name of the title, but the one with Burgess Meredith wearing, he's the sole survivor, and all he wants to do is just read his books, and he breaks his only pair of glasses, and he can't read, and he's just blind. So all that survival moment just gone, and just the irony of all that. That's the kind of stuff that I like. What makes this series even harder to digest is that they're putting this behind the paywall, just like Discovery. So I don't think if Star Trek Discovery was not on the air and this was their flagship franchise to introduce the paywall, no, it would never make it. The only way this works, the Twilight Zone series works, is that Discovery is still in production. So we still have another couple episodes in Star Trek Discovery before it takes a hiatus and comes back in January. And then the last bit of that series. So not until 2019, if I remember correctly, is when we're going to get season 2. Now, in that time, I'm pretty sure that we'll have at least the first season run for the new Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele. But I don't see the draw being without Star Trek as a lead-in. Kind of like if you have programming, you have a new show, well, you want to have it have a strong lead-in to kind of get audiences hooked and not leave that station. So I don't see this being on the exact same level as Star Trek Discovery. As much as I despise that wall, it only works when you have a lead-in to have Star Trek. All right. The last bit of news is going to be Ridley Scott, in which he is talking about Alien Covenant and the alien from Prometheus and alien in general. He says it's been done too much. So if, like you, were hoping that Alien Covenant was the movie before we get the alien first movie, well, no, that's not the case. He still wants to produce a couple of more movies. And I think an in-between movie between Prometheus and then Alien Covenant. And basically, he's just said to the point that, you know what, the alien thing has been done too much. We've worn out its welcome. It's been overcooked, so to speak. And he wants to do something in which, if the next movie does happen, that's a big if at this point, is that he's going to use David, who is still alive, somehow have the engineers realize what David had did to that planet, and there'll be some kind of repercussion or something to that effect. That could be interesting, but honestly, do we even still care at this point? It's not as if we have a universe that's fleshed out, kind of like Star Trek, where you have in the same timeline other things that are happening on, other things that are happening or as referred to in each other's timeline or series. With Alien, you know, the first movie was fantastic because it was nothing that we've ever seen. H.R. Giger, masterwork with the alien creature. His designs are amazing. And it's biomechanoid. And it's just, again, stuff that we just, it's stuff of nightmares and is brought to reality. And then James Cameron doing Aliens and doing a fantastic job with action, but then David Fincher in his first movie directorial debut really kind of lost it with Alien 3 with me, even though it seemed like it's going to be the end, because spoiler, Ripley kills herself with the alien creature inside of her. But then luckily we get Alien Resurrection, in which the fourth movie Ripley gets brought back, and somehow her DNA is kind of fused with the alien DNA. So it's a different type of Ripley that we see in the future. And actually, it was actually good. I really enjoyed that. Then we get Prometheus, which is a prequel, but doesn't end, that leads into Alien. It seemed like we were going to get that, but it really didn't. The storyline was very reminiscent of we land on a planet, we encounter life, and that life takes over us and kills us, and that's it. Well, I was fine with it. But with Alien Covenant, it just continued the whole storyline. That we've seen this again. Another crew encounters alien life, takes over and just kills them, and then that's it. So the alien that we all have come to love and fear is done. So if he's going to continue the series without the alien, can you even call it Alien? That doesn't make sense. It'll just be whatever that movie is, you know, David versus the engineers. I don't know. It just, I think, unfortunately, it's done. I mean, we even had Alien versus Predator that was okay, but it never gave me a clear winner, even though I wanted one. But I didn't care for that whole storyline that the aliens were on Earth or predators were on Earth in the pyramid in Antarctica. And like, oh God. So I think the problem lies is that if you're trying to set up a whole universe in your franchise, and I forgot to mention this, but The Walking Dead also, because it's now in its eighth year, and AMC said, well, you know, realistically, we can continue this forever. And then have other shows and series and within those 50 years and keep the franchise alive and do other things like they've done with Star Trek or with Doctor Who. But because they haven't really expanded Alien, I don't see that happening in that sense. And with The Walking Dead, you have one series and you have The Fear of the Walking Dead, and then what are you going to do with the other series? You know, I'm not dead, but I'm still walking dead. I don't know. So it's great that you want to try to create a universe and have legs that it can self-maintain itself and keep evolving. But unless you come up with a clever premise, like the Doctor, that you can rotate out actors and use that in the story plot that he is regenerating, then that would work. Otherwise, you're just trying to cash in on something that you refuse to let die. So, I don't know. All right, so that's going to be the end of my, unfortunately, last sci-fi news podcast for this year again. I'm still going to be producing other podcasts, and you're still going to hear me. But again, I'm not going to be doing the weekly sci-fi news. So, and I got to do a new promo for 2018 as well. So I got a lot of stuff still to work on, because the Watto interaction that I do with my promo is a little stale and it needs an update. So I want to really do something really cool for the next one. So, but in the meantime, you can always follow me on the various social networks. You can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. So again, thank you very, very much for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.